Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good day to you. It's going to be a little bit cloudy today with showers likely and a slight chance of thunderstorms. On the leeward side, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, and expected to be breezy as well. The trade winds are with us, 10 to 25 miles per hour. It's going to be muggy a little bit too, so just be prepared to put on sunscreen. That's all you really need to know if you're going to be out on the golf course today. And of course, if it's actually a thunder shower, do get in and out of the rain. Got a great show for you. Mike Johnson, senior equipment editor from Golf Digest, is going to join us. Eric Onodera, the general manager over at Bayview Golf Course. Lewin Mayer's calling in from Scotland, golf writer for Global Golf Post. Derek Watts is president of the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. I don't know much about this, but it sounds like a really good idea. He's also, by the way, the superintendent of golf at Kona Country Club. He's been at the Prince Course, Kapalua. He's been in Hawaii for a long time. And so has Mark Rolfing. And Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports analyst, commentator, and golf influencer. He's going to be with us too. Today is the Bougainville Flooring Superstore Fall Sale, Hawaii's largest in-stock inventory. Their fall sale is today. It is tomorrow as well. You need to see their huge selection of flooring, carpet, porcelain, ceramic tile, over 1,000 carpet remnants in stock. Installation supplies like tools, adhesives, floor prep, grout cleaners. Yes, go in. Find the perfect flooring in just one visit. Located by the NEX on Bougainville. Remember, their price match guarantee and Bougainville Superstore fall sale today and tomorrow. Go now. Why pay more? We'll be back with Mark Rolfing right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And Mark Rolfing. He's golf analyst and commentator for Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Hawaii Top Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me, and hello everybody in the islands today.
You've been in, Stevens Point, Wisconsin, over in Kohler, Wisconsin. Where are you now?
I'm in Montana now. Now that they have the FedEx Cup in August, which is typically when I used to come to Montana to our little summer cabin, I can't go in August anymore, so now the FedEx Cup is over. I came here for a couple weeks, and getting ready to head back out on the road next weekend.
Awesome. The big sky country of Montana. My son was thinking about retiring there one day. It's got a great appeal for a lot of people. Is there any great golf in Montana?
There's some fabulous golf, and I'll tell you, these cowboys love their golf. If I've been at a tournament and I come here on a Sunday night, let's say, and then go to the store on Monday morning to get my coffee as usual, they will be there en masse. Want to know why in the world did, you know, Rory McIlroy do that? Or I mean, they are avid golfers up here, and there's some great golf, especially in the summertime. I mean, you can tee off up here at almost 8 o'clock at night and still play 18 holes of golf.
Oh, that's magnificent. Oh, and then you see the skies. Oh, that's beautiful. Wisconsin, Stevens Point. You were there. I was reading one of your tweets. Mark Rolfing is at Mark Rolfing GC. That's for Golf Channel. Fierce competition underway at Century World during the Century Insurance Regional Agency Summit. So, do they have a tournament before they go into the... They had a Q&A with you? How lucky they are.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The more I'm around the Century folks, the more I'm impressed with them and their brand, and the more I understand how they have just taken to golf. You know, they made a little bit of a leap of faith in sponsoring the Century Tournament of Champions. They had never done anything like that, and they're now realizing just how important golf is to their brand and how that Tournament of Champions has really changed their brand. And consequently, they are doing a lot of offshoots that are golf-oriented. And with the Ryder Cup coming to Wisconsin next year, Pete McPartland said, why don't we have sort of an intercompany Ryder Cup where we bring in all of our best customers and guests from all over the country, and Mark can come and pretend like he's announcing, and and we can make it like a mini Ryder Cup. And that's basically what we did. It was wildly successful.
That's fantastic. What a great idea. I know in years past over at the Kapalua Plantation Course, there were many times when people brought their top sellers, whatever industry they were in, and they would have competitions themselves on the plantation course before the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, I think golf is a great way. If you think about it, Danielle, today's a big college football day, for example. You're not going to be able to entertain guests down on the field and interact with the players at a college football game, or you're not going to be able to give your guests a chance to run a kickoff back for a touchdown in a pro-am situation. But golf gets those kind of customers closer to the game and closer to what the professionals are actually experiencing than any other sport by far.
That's great. And then you went from Stevens Point to Kohler, Wisconsin. Ryder Cup is just a year away. It's September 29th through October 1st. 43rd Ryder Cup matches September 25th through the 27th. So what did you guys do?
We basically did a little planning. We're having a three-day event at Kohler in 2 weeks, which is right at the end of September. And basically, you'll be able to watch it live on the Golf Channel. We're going to have the captains of both teams. We're going to have former players. A lot going on there at Kohler. And it's going to be sort of a day and a half of celebrating what I think is going to be one of the great sporting events, really, of our lives, which will be the Ryder Cup in Wisconsin. It is really just going to be off the charts. I think it'll be a lot like the Ryder Cup was in Minneapolis. They have avid golf fans up there. But in 2 weeks, we're going to do a lot of live interviews with the captains and players. We're going to preview the Ryder Cup, and we're actually doing a David Faraday show live in a theater down in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So that one is going to be that's going to be a corker.
And that's all live on Golf Channel.
That's all going to be on Golf Channel, correct?
So that's the September 29th to the October 1st dates. That's when
that is it, Danielle. Mark your calendar down.
Got it. So and then in September 25th, of course, to the 27th on the Straits Course at Whistling Straits in Haven, Wisconsin, is the Ryder Cup. What's that course like?
You know, people think it's a European-style course. You look at it, it's right close to Lake Michigan, and it has the look of a links course that you would find over in Great Britain or Ireland, but it really is not a links course at all. It's quite a bit more target golf. I don't think it will favor either one of the teams, but I will tell you this. You know, I'm already hearing a lot of talk that, oh, the Americans are going to get the Ryder Cup back, and look at this team. We got this unbelievable team. And, yeah, well, I've heard that one before. I look at Whistling Straits, and I look at that European team, and I'm starting to see some of these youngsters. I had about three people tell me the other day they can't wait to see Victor Hovland in the Ryder Cup. And I said, well, yeah, you know, he's not going to be on America's team. He's going to be on the other team.
Yes.
And everybody went, what? You know, so I don't know. I think it's going to be an epic Ryder Cup, and I think it'll be a battle right down to the last match.
I love it. And that, you know, you're speaking because Team Europe holds the cup. They had that 17-5 to 10-5 victory over the United States, Le Golf National, when it was played in France. So you talk about going down to amazing equal teams going up against each other. That was the Solheim Cup in Scotland at Glen Eagles. That was amazing. Were you at an event where it came down to being tied going into singles?
I've been at one where it was tied going into singles, but I've never been at one where it literally went down to the last putt like that one
did.
I thought that was just phenomenal. I think it was really, really good for women's golf in general. It showed just how good the players were. Some of the shots they were hitting under that pressure, which was just suffocating pressure, I thought was phenomenal, and it really showcased the fact that, you know, the best players in the world are not all men, that's for sure.
Yes, yes, and not all the best commentators in golf are all men. Michelle Wee came out. I heard her Golf Channel debut during Solheim Cup, and you were very impressed. Confident, you said, concise, informative, spot on with analysis.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of funny stories about that. The Golf Channel had called me a few months ago and said, hey, do you think Michelle would be interested in doing commentary for the Solheim Cup? So they actually asked me to ask her, kind of like when you were in fourth grade and you were afraid to ask somebody to go bowling or go to a party or something, you had your friend ask. So they had me ask my friend, and so we ended up getting the deal together. But I got to tell you, Michelle was so nervous. And she was so apprehensive about what it was really going to be like. And we started texting back and forth. And pretty much the entire week, we're texting back and forth. And I just thought she was phenomenal. I'll save the text. Sometime I'll throw them to you. that are really, really funny. But I sent her one after I'd given her all this praise and everything. Then she was smiling and all happy. And I said, don't get too comfortable in that chair. I'm glad you've got some playing time left because that's my chair.
Do you think, let's say she decides that it's not worth it to her body and her frustration, that she would actually transition to something like analysis on television?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. If you think about players and trying to stay relevant in the game as life goes on, because number one, they love the game, but number two, it'll provide commercial opportunities for them. It reminds me maybe a little bit of Johnny Miller. You know, could Johnny Miller have had a better playing career? Without a doubt. He only won two majors. Michelle won one. But now that Johnny transitioned from being one of the greatest players of all time, but he transitioned into TV, had a 30-year career, and now he's way better known for his television career than he was for his playing career. I could literally see that happening to Michelle Wee. I think she's that good.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm sorry to say that because of the way the broadcast was, you know, it started about 9 o'clock our time, and then it went on until about 6 in the morning our time. When I was going to bed, I hadn't seen her yet, and when I was waking up, she wasn't on. She was like in prime time, and I just can only imagine how poised and comfortable she would be in the chair once she got used to it. And I'm not afraid to speak her mind either, was she?
No, she wasn't. That was probably my biggest surprise because I know who she's pretty friendly with on the LPGA. And for example, Danielle Kang is a close friend of Michelle's. And she was somewhat critical of Danielle after opening day, you know, and really kind of told it like it was. And she did not shy away from offering opinions and positions. And I just thought, all in all, she did a tremendous job. And I know that management at the Golf Channel was just thrilled with the job she did.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want. We want somebody to look at it and tell it like they see it. And that's what Johnny Miller did. Tell it like you see it. Doesn't have to be that I agree with you. In fact, some people disagreed with her criticism of the captains and the way they set up their lineup. And some people took issue with that, like, you know, who are you to say this and that? But that doesn't mean she's a player. She's in the middle of it. She's been on a Ryder Cup team many times, so she knows the dynamics. She's the perfect person to talk about something. Doesn't make it right or wrong, but that's what we want. We want people to talk about things and how they think about them. Now, I was critical of people who questioned. I didn't like the pace of play. Can't say that I liked 40-mile-an-hour gusts either. Could understand why they'd back off from the shot. But I don't think a Solheim Cup or a Ryder Cup is just the place to criticize players and their pace of play. What were your thoughts on the pace of play, Mark?
Well, I've got two thoughts on it. I lean in your direction on that one, that's probably not the time and place to do it. But on the other hand, I look at the television ratings for the Solheim Cup, which has challenges. When you're playing in Europe like that, it's going to be on difficult air times and your audience is going to be limited. But the television ratings to me were disappointing. As good as it was, I would have liked to have seen more people, especially in the U.S., be able to watch that thing. But I really believe that if we don't go about solving this slow play problem, Danielle, people are not going to watch, especially the casual viewer. If the casual viewer tunes in and watches something that's moving really slow and you can't really get a sense of when are you going to see a result for this, that's going to be bad. Maybe the Solheim Cup isn't the time to really address it, but okay, we're done with the Solheim Cup. Let's address it. Let's do something about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, because I have to watch golf, and I find it tedious to sit and watch them wait. And you know, they've got lots of players to choose when they've got huge fields, and that's part of the problem. Huge fields, doesn't that delay the pace of play?
Yeah, if you look at what they're doing in Europe, they got a four-point system going on over there now. You've seen a shot clock. There's a clock on every hole now that basically shows each group what position they're in, whether they're behind, where the group ahead of them is, where the group behind them is. It's really cool. I think that's going to help. But the other thing is they are trimming their field size. Now, the European Tour isn't as strong as the U.S. Tour, and it's easier to cut two groups out, let's say eight players, and have less playing spots in Europe. You don't get as much complaining from the membership as you do in America. If you cut the fields by eight in America, let's say the Sony Open, you cut by eight players, you're going to get a lot of grousing, because that's eight guys that would maybe get a start in a PGA Tour event that otherwise wouldn't get one. But if there's no other way to do it, if the players won't pick up the pace, then I say do it.
Yeah, I liked what Henrik Stenson was quoted in one article about the shot clock. He said, well, 2 minutes to play a shot just can't be regular. There are, you know, there's times when the weather's bad or people in the field, the size of the field, it just can't be regular. 2.5 minutes to putt can't happen. And that...
Yeah, the one I don't get is the putting. I really don't think the putting needs to be that complicated. I can see where if the wind's blowing 40 and you've got all sorts of conditions and uphill and downhill and a bad lie or a good lie or whatever, there's so many more elements involved in a long shot than there is in a putt. There's just no excuse whatsoever for having putting take as long as it is. The guy that's going to carry the torch, you watch him, Danielle, is Rory McIlroy. He is already starting to play faster, I can tell by watching him, because he wants to set an example, and he wants to say you don't have to play slow to play good.
Yeah, and you know what's really hurtful for the people? I mean, it hurts their game. The luck of the draw. If you are a medium or quicker player and you end up getting two guys who are slow players, doesn't that impact your game?
It does. You have to totally arrange when are you going to walk, when are you going to stop, you know, what is your whole pace going to be? You can't operate normally. You have to operate according to what the other guy is doing, and that's not the way golf was intended to be played. Golf is an individual game. You create your own shots, but when you have the pace of play being such a big issue, effectively you're being impacted by what the other guy's doing.
Yeah. You know, the PGA Tour season is interesting in the way things are developing. We've got 11 tournaments in the fall, which never was a big deal, and now it is, I guess. Is the fall a big deal now?
You know, the fall is getting to be a bigger deal. Justin Thomas just signed up to play in Safeway next week. Mickelson is playing there. You are going to see in this next year, Danielle, a dramatic change in where guys are playing golf. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is the FedEx Cup. The FedEx Cup, I think, has grown leaps and bounds in the last couple of years and become way more important on players' radar. 10 years ago, if you would ask 100 guys, would they rather win the PGA Championship or win the FedEx Cup, it would have been 100-0 in favor of the PGA Championship. I can almost promise you that now if you ask 100 guys which one of those two they'd rather win, it would be a pretty close vote. Because of that, players realize how important it is to get FedEx Cup points, and now that they have a different format in Atlanta where you're starting with a lead on the field, if you accumulate points throughout the year, they're going to play more. But because of that, they're going to look at the schedule and say, when am I not going to play more? And when they're not going to play more is in the summertime. The PGA Tour tournaments between the Masters and the FedEx Cup, I think, are really in trouble. Here's why. The major championships are now spread out by only 4 weeks. You got the Masters in April, PGA Championship, U.S. Open, and then the Open Championship. And it caught the players off guard this year. They were exhausted. McIlroy complained about it. Justin Rose was very vocal about it, that he was way too tired. So I think what you're going to end up seeing is players playing in less tournaments during that major championship run in the late spring and summer, and they'll play in more tournaments in the fall and in the winter on the West Coast. The West Coast, including the two Hawaii events, is really going to benefit from this.
This is interesting. Yeah, and I don't blame them, because a lot of people go, yeah, they're playing golf. What's the big idea? Yeah, but between playing golf, they've got to travel, pick up all their stuff, go from one place to another place, settle in, get the lay of the land, go along. And it's exhausting, I imagine.
Yeah, if you look at those majors, like if you've got a month between the Masters and the U.S. And the PGA Championship, or a month between the PGA and the U.S. Open, mm-hmm. I don't see any of the top players, I don't see any of the big stars playing more than one tournament in that month, which means they're going to be off three tournaments. And I really think that's the way it's going to be. So everything in April, May, the Texas tournaments, Colonial, Byron Nelson, events, you know, in June and July, like the John Deere Classic, and those, I really think those events are going to have trouble attracting fields. It's going to be a switch in sort of the power of the fields on the PGA Tour. The West Coast is going to get stronger. Summer's going to get weaker.
So do you think the FedEx Cup, based on Rory McIlroy being given the Player of the Year award by the PGA Tour players by vote, do you think the FedEx Cup has become, if maybe even more important than the majors, or at least as important?
I think so, and here's why. You haven't had Rory McIlroy mentioned once that I've seen $15 million. He's not talking about $15 million. When the FedEx Cup started, it was only about the money. Nobody cared about anything but the money. And now, because of the way it's set up, it is an important championship to win. It is something that you want on your career resume. And that was to have won the FedEx Cup, because it shows that you are the best player for that year. And consequently, I think, yes, the FedEx Cup has become more important.
Absolutely. One final thought, and this is important because I always tell people to put on sunscreen. And when I was reading Justin Thomas's Instagram post that was also on Twitter about discovering melanoma early, but on his body, he said, don't just put on sunscreen, get your skin checked. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, cancer is such a deadly disease, as you well know, Danielle, but it is preventable. And it's just amazing to me how little attention most people pay to getting their skin screened and to go in to just see their dermatologist and be tested. If Justin Thomas, if he had not found that melanoma as early as he did, he would have really been in trouble. You saw the picture. That was a bad one.
Yep.
And it is very easy. It takes half an hour to get your skin screened, and just do it. The single most important thing in sun safety is to make sure that you put on sunscreen and you cover up and all that. But really, it starts with understanding if you have a little change in your body. He had a little mole that was the size of a, less than the size of a dime. But it was a change. And when you have a change in something like that, immediately go to the doctor, because there's something going on there.
Awesome. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, and golf influencer. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. We've got somebody starting something on the Big Island to help golf course employees. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power
at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or your line broke at 10 a.m., or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
I just listed my home.
I hear first impressions matter.
My realtor said what they see first when they pull up sets the tone for the whole visit. Can you guess what Realtor.com said is the highest return on investment you can make?
No.
Your garage door.
Yes. Since people see that first, and it makes your home stand out, you can have a beautiful home now, then get all your money back when you sell. It'll probably sell faster. Rainer Doors of Hawaii, 676-3667.
Bougainville Flooring Superstore has Hawaii's largest stock in inventory. A huge selection of flooring, carpet, porcelain, wood, ceramic tile, over 1,000 carpet remnants in stock. Installation supplies like tools, adhesives, floor prep, grout, cleaners, and more. Come in. We're located near the NEX on Bougainville. Bougainville Flooring. Remember our price match guarantee. Find everything you'll need at the Bougainville Flooring Superstore.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Do you realize the holidays are coming? I mean, I walk through stores and I look and there's candy everywhere. Well, that must mean that Halloween is around the corner. It's not even October and they're telling me about Halloween. With those holidays come all of the people who love, you love, and they all want to join you and you want them to be there at your holiday parties. A question is your house ready for the traffic? The traffic through the house and the spills and the accidents that come with holiday parties. Is your carpet ready for the onslaught? So go to Bougainville Flooring Superstore. They're having the Bougainville Flooring Superstore fall sale. You want your house tricked out. They've got easy to install dent resistant vinyl planking, stain resistant, easy clean carpets on sale this weekend, September 20th and the 21st. They have over 1,000 carpet remnants on sale and a price match guarantee. That's porcelain tile, tools, installation supplies, and people willing and able to answer your questions. It is the Bougainville Flooring Superstore Fall Flooring Sale. They're just off Bougainville near the NEX on Bougainville Road. Lots of easy free parking. Go now. Why pay more? So let's bring into Derek Watts. He's into the clubhouse now. He's a superintendent of golf, or as I love it, the last time we talked, he said, I'm the lead greenskeeper at Kona Country Club. He's been at Princeville Golf Course or Prince Golf Course. He's been at Kapalua Resort. And now he's at Kona Country Club making it beautiful. And he has started something called the the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. He is the president. Derek, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, your mission is to provide financial relief to Hawaii Golf Course employees. You're committed to helping Hawaii Golf Course employees in financial distress. Tell us a little about what happened to, you know, the impetus that got you to found this organization, this foundation.
Well, you know, Danielle, we started it last year. We started the foundation. The motivation was the five resorts that I've been on the islands of Hawaii. You know, I've always worked with the employees closely, and it always seems like the golf course is a big part of Hawaii tourism. And there always seem to be one employee or two employees that just come upon hardship in their lives. So what my mission was to set out was to try to help these employees boost their lives a little bit in quality within the state of Hawaii. So,
So it's like, all right, the members of the board, you've got Scott Main, the vice president. He's the director of golf maintenance at Nanea. Forrest Belcher is the treasurer. He's at Royal Kona Resort. John Addison is at Kohana Iki. He's the secretary. And you've all gotten together to create the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. What do you, what determines financial hardship?
Well, we had to set the categories out. So we're mostly looking at, you know, death, natural disasters, illness or injuries, catastrophic or extreme circumstances, housing, just any sort of need that they could have that could help get them out of financial distress.
So in other words, if the lava comes and burns your house up on the Big Island, that's a financial distress. And they could turn to the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation for assistance.
Correct. Yes, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for superintendents to nominate some of their employees to help them get out of financial distress.
Excellent. How do you raise the funds for this? How do you get the money for helping everybody who might need something?
Well, we've got a lot of help from the golf course industry throughout the island. They've been very supportive. We've also had donations just via personal donations. And we're currently have a website up where everybody can go to and they can donate to help the employees that are in distress. And that's just, it's been great so far. This whole year we've done really, really well. Everybody's been very supportive towards the foundation.
That's wonderful. And you're also having a tournament tomorrow. A part of it is to raise money.
Yeah. So we're going to actually host our first annual Golf Course Employee Foundation tournament. So it's going to be hosted here at Kona Country Club. So we'd like to thank them for hosting us. And it should be a good day. We have a lot of turnouts. A lot of employees are actually going to play, and that was the goal with this tournament, was to actually get the employees involved in the foundation as well, so they feel like they help sponsor some of the needs.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to benefit potentially, that's, you need to get involved. It's also great because word of mouth. I spoke to some people about it, and they didn't know that you had organized the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation.
Yeah, so this year we're starting just on the Big Island. You know, our future goal is to go statewide. We're going to try to do that next year. We're planning on maybe having multiple tournaments, one here on the Big Island, one on Maui, and one on Oahu as well. So that's our goal. This year we're just starting because it's the first annual. We're seeing how it goes, and so far so good. We're planning on expanding statewide next year.
And I noticed on your website that people who do donate to the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation, that you put their logo or their message on your website.
Yeah, so we would always like to say mahalo to all of our sponsors. So we do the logo, and we're advertising on the website. We're going to have a tournament sheet tomorrow that actually says all of our sponsorships and all the prize donations that we received. And, we're trying to get their name out as much as possible for their donations.
Well, you want to mention some of them?
Yeah, so, we got quite a few, but, Water Control, Bee Game & Company, Kelly's Tree Trimming, Pacific Golf, Simplot, Photon Works, Nutrien, Big Island Toyota. Those are all great sponsors, and we do appreciate everybody. The list is a little bit too long to mention all of them, but, we do really appreciate all the donations for the contributions. So.
Absolutely. This is Derek Watts. He is president of the Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. Their goal is to assist the employees financially and for them to overcome their personal challenges like medical needs, financial difficulties, transportation, living situation, family emergencies, a death in the family, for instance, and they need to go travel someplace, but they don't have the money to get there. That's when you would step in and help out?
That's correct, yeah. So 99% of the donations go straight to the Hawaii Golf Course employees. So our board members, we run on just volunteer time. So we're actually running the foundation on less than 2% of administrative costs. So So we really would like everybody to help out. You know, we're really looking forward to helping employees this year. And, obviously the tax-deductible contributions for the HECF is a nonprofit charity. So,
Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. That's it. And you can go to Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. What is the website?
Okay, so the website is hgcef.org. If you'd like to donate, and if you'd like to sponsor, you can go to the hgcef.org/sponsorship.
Great, great. Any whole sponsorships available when you do one of your tournaments?
Yeah, we're actually gonna contact people for whole sponsorships next year when we do the other tournaments. This year we're just starting off on the Big Island, but. You know, we're really happy just to help out one employee. If we could just help out one employee, I think everything will be good. You know, just in my mind, the golf courses, you know, are a big part of Hawaii tourism. And, you know, there's always some employees that could use a little boost to get their head above water. And that's what we're looking for. So the funds will be distributed throughout the superintendents. So in mid-October, the superintendents will nominate an employee from their golf course or resort, and then the board of directors will review the nominations and will prioritize the nominations based on the categories, and then the funds will be distributed in November, and the board will work directly with the superintendents to make sure that the funds go directly towards the nomination for the employee's financial needs.
Excellent. Derek Watt, superintendent of golf, or lead greenskeeper, as you called yourself, at Kona Country Club.
Yeah.
How's everything at Kona Country Club?
Great. It's a beautiful day here, so if anybody was going to come out, come on out and then join us. We will get the word out for our future tournaments. And again, thank you for having me, Danielle. And if you guys would like to donate, please visit our website.
HGCF.org.
Yeah. HGCEF, so .org.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I wanted to make. I didn't hear the E in there, so I was wondering. I was trying to go online myself, and it wouldn't come up. HGCEF.org. That's where you go.
Yep.
Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation. Hawaii Golf Course Employee Foundation, helping the employees who find themselves in financial distress. Their mission is to provide that financial relief to Hawaii Golf Course employees. Thank you so much, Derek, for being on the show.
Okay, Daniel. Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Okay. Aloha. That's Derek. And we've got Lewin Mayer. She's going to be calling in from Scotland. She was at Glen Eagles when the Solheim Cup went down to the last putt on the 18th hole. It was the last singles match in the Solheim Cup, and the U.S. really thought they were going to win. This is ours to take home, because all we needed was a half a point. And Europe got the full point. That took them over, and they got 14 and a half. That means we couldn't get the cup and keep it and bring it home. And there we have it. The everyone wondered whether or not the Solheim Cup was going to be, you know, boring because the U.S. was always winning. Well, this one certainly showed us that it was not boring. And out of this came actually the transition of one person from, I don't know, you know, negative, kind of like somebody who's got a negative bent to them, to someone who became the hero. We'll be talking with Lewin after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
What's the first thing you see when you get home?
My cat?
No, your garage door. And I love my Rainer door. It improved the look of my house, and it's strong and quiet.
Wow, how can I get a Rainer door?
Call 676-DOOR, and your home can look great and be worth more money. That's 676-3667, Rainer Doors, Hawaii.
Nothing short of amazing.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 or Hen House. You need your job done now.
On call.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
And welcome into the clubhouse, Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post special correspondent, author of many books, including 100 Years of Women's Golf. If you had to write another chapter for 100 Years of Women's Golf, do you think Solheim Cup would be in it?
I think you'll have to excuse me. I've got a slight sore throat, the legacy of the Saturday at the Solheim.
Oh, my.
But I think I would write another book.
And what would you call it?
The match has been so much more than it was ever expected to be. I mean, I went to the first one, and it was played with absolutely no one watching it because they thought that the Americans would hammer us, which they did, 11.5, 4.5. But the thing was, we then won it in the second time of asking. That was in Scotland. And we've really done pretty well since. It's just absolutely marvelous. Because if you look at our rankings compared to the Americans, they're simply not in their league. But my goodness, we come up trumps in match play so often.
Now, which one of the players was the one who, during the interviews leading up to the matches, she said somebody told her that the U.S. was favored, and she took great umbrage?
I think that was Celine Boutier, who thought, no, you know, we all played a lot of match play in the amateur game, and, you know, she definitely had... you know, no thoughts at all that the Americans were better than Europe, the Europeans, in a match play context.
Yeah, and when I saw that feistiness and that determination to be on top, I thought, boy, we're in for a much more difficult road than we are expecting. And I think that, you know, the wind and everything played a part, but for both sides, it wasn't, no one gets used to that kind of a gusting wind. Do you see tournaments played in those conditions often?
No, we would play them over here. Sorry. We would play them over here, but I think in America you might sort of call people in earlier than we would.
Yeah, Scotland, you've got those gusts, and we probably would say, okay, it's too, the ball's oscillating and all that stuff. And I heard that the ball was oscillating at Solheim Cup, didn't stay still on the green. Was that the case?
Oh, yes, it was happening quite a lot on the Saturday. In fact, the conditions were as vile as you can get on the Saturday. They were appalling.
Yeah. And
you know, the great thing about, the girls, you know, when they came in and they were all dripping wet and exhausted, but people wanted them to sign autographs and to have, you know, they wanted pictures taken with them. And the girls obliged. It was such a, you know, it was so good in that respect. You know, they really appreciated the crowds.
They appreciated the crowds, and the crowds appreciated them. There were a lot of spectators. How many is estimated were surrounding the greens and the fairways?
Well, all told over the week, there were 90,000.
90?
Several times, they were 90,000. They were thinking they might get up to 100,000, but they got over the 90 mark, which was incredible. There's never been anything like it in a women's golf contest here.
It's wonderful. It was wonderful to watch. And what a win for Suzanne Pedersen. I think somebody said she became, she was a nicer ferocious.
Yes, I rather like that phrase. I got that off Laura, actually. That's what she said, because we were discussing what a scary person she could be and had her child.
That's Dame Laura. And I was reading in Global Golf Post, the wrap-up from, this is Lewin Mayer. She is a golf writer for Global Golf Post. It must have been interesting watching this transition. Were you there when she sunk that final putt for the win?
I was, actually. It was just absolutely incredible. It was the most amazing thing, because we all thought that it was, you know, America only needed to get a half out of the last couple of matches. And we just assumed that was that. And then suddenly the roar came as Bronte Lure held a putt on 17. Suzanne still didn't know that she had this putt for the thing. She wasn't sure. She knew it was important, but quite how important she wasn't, you know, she really genuinely didn't know. And then she held it, and she held it bang in the middle of the cup. It didn't creep in the door. It was such an emphatic putt. And what a moment. You know, she bent over backwards, and the cheering was phenomenal.
Took the house down. I've got goosebumps just thinking about it. And then she decides in the moment that she's going to retire from competition. Was that really something she hadn't thought about?
Well, I don't know, because I think she'd been half thinking of retiring beforehand, because otherwise, why would she not have played more? She only played twice this year, but when the announcement was, she'd only played in two tournaments when the announcement was made of the full team at Gleneagles. And she was saying during the week that on the day she told Katrina that she was pregnant last year, Katrina said, "Well, that's fine. I still would like to have you in my team, if that's possible." And Suzanne spent the winter and much of the year at home, and then she played with Katrina in the Dow Pairs Championship, and Katrina could see that she was playing well, and she encouraged her, and she said, you know, the light was back in her eye, and she could see that her game wasn't that rusty, and she knew for sure that Suzanne was going to be a tough opponent, as tough an opponent as she ever was.
Yeah, absolutely. What I was astounded with, if Suzanne hadn't made a decision, but announcing her retirement, you know, without really thinking about it, it was just obviously at that moment, in that moment, the victory, the competition, the elation, all of the stuff that happened, there was never going to be a better moment than that. I mean, it was everything that you could possibly dream of happened at that time. And could
well,
you?
Yeah. Yes. That's what made it so wonderful. I mean, how many golfers that you speak to when they've retired would like to have got out at the top or after a particular result? And there could never be a result to do to match what she did. And as Laura said, she turned from a villain to hero, and it was a marvelous moment and such a marvelous story.
It really was. The part of it that also comes out, of course, and it's only because everyone's talking about pace of play, and it's become so obvious with television, with the fewer contenders on the field, the more obvious the pace of play is slow, because there's no other
yes.
people that the cameras can turn to. When you have 144 players, well, we'll show him before, and while he's figuring out what he's going to do for the next 5 minutes, then we'll take it to him or her, you know. So you don't really notice it because they're keeping you distracted the whole time while you're watching on television. But when you only have a few people and it's down to just about nobody, it's like, okay, are you going to, what are you doing now? Are you guys going to discuss this for what? Play already. I didn't think it was particularly nice of anyone. I didn't think it was the right format to be criticizing pace of play and taking on so harshly the women about their pace of play during Solheim Cup. Was that the mood in Europe, or am I just feeling it here in the U.S.?
Well, I think all year everybody's been fed up with the pace of play. And having, you know, since they'd got tougher in other events, they weren't suddenly going to pretend it wasn't happening in the Solheim. And one match, it was Suzanne's match in the singles, I think, or maybe it was the very in one of the end matches, it was 2 hours, 10 minutes for the first six holes. Now, that is ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, that's a crazy number, you know, and I don't know what they're going to do. Putting GPS trackers in the bags of the players. I'm going to talk with Mike Johnson about that a little bit because, you know, one guy, one group, it doesn't tell you which one in the group is actually the slow one keeping everybody back, which is the reason why they're slow. It's not necessarily Rory McIlroy, but, you know, it's somebody else because Rory's a quicker player than most others, and somehow it just... There's just got to be a way to do it. Each one has to be on the clock independently somehow. I don't know what the answer is, obviously. Do you have any ideas?
Well, no, I did go to this event in Belgium last year. It was called the shot clock, or was it in Austria? It was the Shot Clock Masters or something, and they had hundreds of buggies out there, and, you know, they were timing everybody. And I gather that it cost so much money to have all these buggies and so many referees involved, but it did quicken them up. They saved about half an hour each, I think. But there has to be an easier way of doing it.
Yes, instead of having a rodeo around all the players while they're on.
Actually, it was quite funny because the first lad to get fined, couldn't help but find it quite amusing because he'd just been... he'd moved to Germany so that he could be on the faster roads, which I rather liked.
Oh, my goodness. So he went to Germany.
Slow play.
Yeah, he goes to Europe to the European Tour so he could be quicker pace, and he ends up getting fined for slow play. Okay.
Yeah.
So, sometimes you just can't win. That's amazing. I want to give your throat a rest. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and thank you for calling in, even though you're not feeling well. Lewin Mayer is...
Oh, no, I'm feeling great. It's just that it really goes back to the Solheim Cup, so it's and a loss. I think Suzanne's family came with this infection, and it sort of spread around.
Yes, that's
so
right.
That's where I got it from.
Yes, yes, it's Suzanne's fault.
I blame her. Yeah. Yes. Back to villain, I'm afraid.
Back to... Well, that was short-lived. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to come back. We're going to get something really special in Hawaii, and I don't think we have it here in Hawaii yet, and has to do with the driving range. And we'll be back with this special report after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Bougainville Flooring Superstore has Hawaii's largest stock in inventory. A huge selection of flooring, carpet, porcelain, wood, ceramic tile, over 1,000 carpet remnants in stock. Installation supplies like tools, adhesives, floor prep, grout, cleaners, and more. Come in. We are located near the NEX on Bougainville. Bougainville Flooring. Remember our price match guarantee. Find everything you'll need at the Bougainville Flooring Superstore.
What's the first thing you see when you get home?
My cat?
No, your garage door. And I love my Rainer door. It improved the look of my house, and it's strong and quiet.
Wow, how can I get a Rainer door?
Call 676-DOOR, and your home can look great and be worth more money. That's 676-3667, Rainer Doors, Hawaii.
Nothing short of amazing.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7.
Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Okay, I told you we have a special report because this is news. Eric Onodera, General Manager, Bayview Golf Course, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Good. It's a beautiful day. Let's see what's going to be today. Mostly cloudy with showers, likely a slight chance of thunderstorms. On the leeward side, it's going to be more cloudy with scattered showers, mostly night and morning, and the high 92 degrees, and the low 74 degrees. I want to be there. Locally breezy trade winds 10 to 25. So, you know, sometimes I'll drive across the Ko'olau and go to Bayview, and it'll be a completely different weather. What's it like on the windward side?
Well, right now it's actually maybe a little cloudy, but it's actually a pretty nice morning over here.
Beautiful. Beautiful morning in Kaneohe. And tee times are available at Bayview Golf Course. The driving range is going to reopen in the not-too-distant future. And with the reopening of the driving range is coming something really special. So first, let's talk about why the driving range is closed.
Well, we closed the driving range a few weeks ago to redo the poles and the netting, kind of just like clean it up a little bit. And then also we're getting new driving range mats and a few other added amenities as well.
So that's the driving range. We saw that it was kind of for a month. Is it forecast to? I know a lot of people love your driving range. It's like they just go there to hit balls. And then they'll play a round of golf. But the driving range, how long do you think it'll be closed?
We're looking end of this month, so maybe the next 10 days or first week of October. So
wow.
Between 10 to 14 more days, we should be reopened.
This is a major undertaking because the Bayview Golf Course driving range is amazing in that the poles that hold up the nets are like gigantic trees. I mean, those things are huge. And apparently they're shifting because of the rain or what have you, and you're putting in these other poles that'll stay in place?
Yeah, like the original poles are 20 to 30 years old already. You know, we get a lot of rain out here on the windward side, so they kind of played out its course, I guess you can say. So it's time for some new ones. So we're getting those put in by Judge Netting. So they're doing a wonderful job out here.
Great. Great. So that's why the driving range closed originally, to upgrade the poles and make the netting and maybe clean up the driving range itself, put in the new mats. But there's something else that's coming to the driving range. Maybe not right when it opens, but here's the news. Okay, Eric, it's on you to tell us what's happening with the driving range.
Yeah, we're bringing in Top Tracer. So the same company as Top Golf. You know, you see a lot of posts on social media and everywhere. So Top Tracer, you see it on TV with the guys on the PGA and LPGA, where they track the ball on, like, par threes and then on their drives. So we're bringing that technology over to the driving range here at Bayview, where we'll have 16 or 20 bays with launch monitors on them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to tell how the ball is spinning.
Absolutely. Like the launch monitor gives like total distance, carry distance, ball speed, apex height, landing angle, deviation, left or right. It'll track the ball for you. So it'll tell you exactly how far it went. And there's a bunch of games too you can play, kind of like how Top Golf is set up as well.
That's great. And so I've always wondered about this. With a Top Tracer, how does it follow the golf ball? Is there something on the ball?
No, it's like, you know, like Top Golf, they use the chip in the ball, but on Top Tracer, they use the camera-based system. So it tracks the ball for maybe like a couple feet, and then it uses an algorithm to determine the rest, and it's accurate up to just a few yards.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So on 16 to 20 of the bays, you're going to have Top Tracer. That's just like Top Golf. Yeah. It's what you see on television. It you see the line that they show you. That's Top Tracer in mode, but with a visual for you on television, so you can see the ball, where it's going.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's going to keep a bunch of stats for you, and it's going to show you all this information, so you'll actually be able to study your rotation or, you know, your carry, and then go all the way the distance, because the roll is so important for us. Isn't the roll important?
Yeah, like a lot of people think, like, oh, I hit my 9-iron 130 yards, but in reality, it only carries 100 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, and it rolls the other 30. Yeah, so this is all good data to know. And also, you can keep track of all this, too. Like, you download their app, and then it also keep track of your progression, like how much better you're hitting it or how much worse you're hitting it. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KPUA Hilo. You know, I think people might come from the neighbor islands just to check out Bayview Golf Course for the Top Tracer that's going to be at Bayview. When do you think they'll be installed?
We're looking November.
November?
November, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just filing up the paperwork right now as we speak. And then build date, I think they're looking about 4 to 6 weeks.
So are the us regulars, are we going to get like a preview?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to have like a, when we launch Top Tracer, we'll have a soft opening, and then we'll let the public have it, man. Like, go at it.
Yes.
And have fun.
Have fun. This is awesome. What are the hours going to be? Like early morning to late at night?
Driving range opens at 8 on most days. Well, one day we clean pick the range, we open a little later, but 8 o'clock till 9 at night.
Perfect.
And it's covered too, so for all that winter rain we get, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly, exactly. And by the way, if you want to go and play a round of golf at Bayview and you haven't been there in the last couple of months, you have no idea how good the greens are. The greens are awesome. Eric Onodera is general manager at Bayview Golf Course. You know, I'm going to ask you right now, the greens are awesome. What have you done to the greens?
Well, it's been a little while since we did any kind of cultural practices like aeration, verticutting. So we did that early in the year. So we got that out of the way. And the greens responded well to it. They've been needing it for quite some time, and just helped with the crew. We got new equipment from John Deere earlier this year. That helped a lot, and the course is just in great shape. We're just moving forward every day.
Yeah, what's it like being in charge of a golf course where the owner puts quality first?
It's nice. It's a good change. It's a very good change. I've been through a couple owners that wasn't too sure what their vision was, but I'm glad to be with a team that, you know, that wants to make the course better.
Yeah, it's awesome. Lyndon from Washington in September of this year wrote, I'm a novice golfer, and I was comfortable golfing this course. The first several holes were very short, but also narrow. The grass on the edges and in the roughs, is much better. The back nine was hilly and had several challenging tee-offs, as she put it. The views are spectacular from several holes. Overall, very scenic course. So happy we were able to play this course. And I recommend it. It is just, it's marvelous what you've done there. And once you, go on the driving range, get yourself loosened up, have some fun with Top Golf when it's there sometime in November, and then go out and play a round of golf at Bayview and have a great time. It's a lot of fun. A whole family can go out and just not be intimidated, because there are some short holes and there's some fun, challenging holes on the back nine, and just have a good time. And you can walk the course. You know, a lot of people come out and walk it. It's great exercise. Eric, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. That's Eric Onodera, General Manager, Bayview Golf Course. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with the man who's in the midst of Hot List. No, it's not out yet. It takes months to put that together. Mike Johnson, Senior Equipment Editor, Golf Digest, with us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
Power at your fingertips. Aloha, our equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
I just listed my home.
I hear first impressions matter.
My realtor said what they see first when they pull up sets the tone for the whole visit. Can you guess what Realtor.com said is the highest return on investment you can make?
No.
Your garage door.
Yes. Since people see that first and it makes your home stand out, you can have a beautiful home now, then get all your money back when you sell. It'll probably sell faster. Rainer Doors of Hawaii, 676-3667.
Bougainville Flooring Superstore has Hawaii's largest stock in inventory, a huge selection of flooring, carpet, porcelain, wood, ceramic, tile, over 1,000 carpet remnants in stock, installation supplies like tools, adhesives, floor prep, grout cleaners, and more. Come on in. Go in to Bougainville Flooring Superstore. It's their fall sale today and tomorrow. They're near the NEX on Bougainville. Bougainville Flooring. Remember, their price match guarantee. Find everything you need at the Bougainville Flooring Fall Super Sale. And go now. Why pay more?
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And that's kind of perfect, because on the windward side of Oahu, we just might have some thunderstorms. I can't use a TH this morning. My tongue isn't cooperating. Mike Johnson, Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member. He's on with us right now inside the clubhouse. Welcome, Mike. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, there are no thunderstorms here, thank goodness, so I might be able to get in an emergency nine.
An emergency nine. Based on your schedule, are you still in Chicago, or have you gone to parts elsewhere?
Got back from Chicago yesterday, leaving for California on Monday to go learn about the new stuff from the companies out west.
Wow. And this is all for the Hot List, and that's due out in January?
That'll be out in early January. You know, as we like to say, it's not a some of the thing time, it's an all the thing time. And really the process from start to finish is pretty close to 9 months. So it really is like birthing a baby.
And the writing's the easy part, right? I mean, the traveling and gathering.
The traveling and gathering are the tough part, but the writing is challenging as well, because you can only say low center of gravity and high moment of inertia in so many different ways.
Yes. How can I do this without using the same words? The same. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I got to get straight into it because we heard about the tour, you know, on the European tour. Apparently, they've been doing it a while, and now they're going to do it on the PGA Tour to make sure they're legal in the bag. Can you give us a little bit of background and some information about this?
Yeah, it's kind of been way on the back burner, but driver testing's been an issue really since the early 2000s. You know, in 2003, 2004, they instituted kind of random driver testing on the PGA Tour. They tried it at first as kind of on a voluntary basis, or actually, if you felt someone's driver was a little bit hot, you know, player A could have player B's driver tested. And that kind of went hot and heavy for the better part of a year around 2004. And then it just kind of slowed down and waned over time. And the, you know, it kind of got lost in the shuffle. But I think now is the distance debate kind of, you know, the distance debate ebbs and flows. And it kind of ebbs and flows with the PGA Tour. Last year, there was a four-yard gain, one of the largest in a long time. So, you know, everyone's hinting that they're hot drivers out there. And I think what the USGA and the PGA Tour are looking at is the same thing I'm looking at. Look, there's not a player out there that is intentionally trying to put a driver in the bag that's over the limit. But the benefit between being just under the limit, just over the limit, can be measured in feet, you know, and maybe even inches. But what's happening is, you know, manufacturers are getting more comfortable with their manufacturing process. They're designing deeper into the tolerance zone. So drivers are just under the limit, and then through use, they can actually change over time. You know, repeated hits on a driver can thin out that face a little bit, and, you know, you can go from just under to just over, which is what happened to Xander Schauffele.
Got it. So this is actually not something that's just started. It's been around for a while. But what about the announcement of random driver checks? It's like all of a sudden we're going to now go into your bag and randomly pull and see if you're illegal or not. Why make an announcement like that if it's been going on since 2004?
Well, the big change is in recent years, the USGA has been out and they've tested at approximately 6 tour events a year. And what they would do is they wouldn't check players' drivers, but they'd go in the equipment vans and they would check the driver heads that were in the equipment van. This is a little bit different. Now what they're going to be doing is checking actual players' drivers. And so they're going to random players will be selected at certain events, and they will be told they need to bring their gamer and any other driver that they might be thinking about putting into play that week in for testing. It's a strict pass-fail. No one's going to get any numbers, although the USGA has said they will send the numbers back to the manufacturers. But the players will just know, hey, my driver's good. It's not good. What they're trying to do is be proactive about it. You know, what they're saying is, look, the players have no way of knowing that their driver has crept over the limit unless we test them. So the real big change is it's gone from testing drivers that are in the vans to testing drivers that players are using. They'll be doing it early in the week, so if a driver does fail, that player has time to either work with a backup or get a backup built that will conform and be put into play. And, you know, most of these players already have backups that they're comfortable with.
Yeah, they'd have to. I mean, how many guys break a driver or something cracks or something? You'd have to have something in your repertoire to be able to put it in your bag. But what about where I found it weird, and I don't know if you've got any feedback, green means go, the driver's fine. Red means, you know, no, the driver's not fine, it's illegal, you can't play with it. Yellow, you know, it's kind of iffy, but go ahead for now.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I would say virtually 100% of drivers on the PGA Tour are yellow, and 98% of the drivers at retail are yellow. anyone who has a driver that tests green should immediately march into the tour van and say, "Hey, dude, you've given me a slow one."
Okay, now we get down to the brass tacks. I like that.
Danielle, it's a lot like driving on the highway, right? We all know the speed limit's 65, but we also all know that unless we're going over 75, we're not going to get pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
So what do the high majority of people do? They drive north of 65 and under 75. And that's exactly what yellow is in driver testing.
makes total sense to me. And I guess Xander Schauffele was a little upset, and because first of all the target about you were, you know, was your driver illegal, was because in the States they were testing the clubs inside the vans, the equipment vans or trucks, and in Europe they were pulling them straight out of the bag.
Yeah, I don't think Xander was really upset about that. If you read his comments carefully, I think he was really pretty accurate. He was upset about the selectivity of it. And he's like, if you're going to test 30 people, why not all 156 in the field?
Yeah.
You know, why just 30? He was also upset that the testing really was not done, and I confirmed this with numerous tour reps. You know, the testing was done in an area where there were tour reps, caddies, player agents, other people around, and he thought it just should have been done a little more confidentially, which I can appreciate that as well. And then I think finally he was a little upset. You know, people were kind of kidding him about being a cheater, and everyone knows that he's not a cheater, and he wasn't even remotely trying to slip one by. You know, this was a driver that was perfectly legal when he put it in the bag, and had no idea that it had slipped over the limit. And it's not an unusual thing. There was an event in Japan where more than 15 drivers were found to be over the limit. So it's not an unusual problem. So I think because of that, the testing is necessary. You know, everyone wants to play within the rules. This is a little better way to make sure that happens.
Absolutely. GPS in golf bags because of slow play. You know, you do the what's in the bag a lot, what did he use to win the tournament? And that's all about clubs. I got to ask you about the GPS because you're all about equipment, but this is more about pace of play. And GPS, to me, if they put it in one person's bag, it's not telling you the time that one individual is taking versus other individuals. You can have a couple of guys who are really quick and they're on their game, and another guy just plays slower. Now, he may be the reason you go on the clock if it's in the group, if you're just putting a GPS in the group. Do you understand the reasoning behind this idea?
I really don't. I don't think it's particularly necessary. I mean, I think we can all agree, you know, the pro game and the elite amateur game takes far too long, and it sets a bad example, and it's probably not necessary to take 5 hours for a threesome to play 18 holes of golf. mm-hmm. Although understanding, you know, hey, it's their livelihood. They want to be pretty sure about things. But, you know, there's so many things that go into slow play. You mentioned a few of them. You know, there's the group in front of you. They could be holding you up. You know, you could be waiting on a ruling. That can slow you down. So there are a lot of things that go into it. I don't think just putting a GPS in someone's bag is really going to solve the problem. I mean, I know it's harsh, but I think it's pretty well understood that until slow play penalties are handed out, it's really not going to change very much.
That's the only thing I can think of. You know, the referee does not want to go over to the guy and give him a penalty. This is a small cadre of people. Everybody kind of knows everybody. And you just want to warn them, get them going. Does a referee want to penalize the guy? Does the PGA Tour want somebody to be penalized? I don't know what the politics of all this is.
Well, I don't think they do, and I think they would like to avoid that. But I think it's gone to the extreme where there's not even the possibility of that occurring. So, you know, if they actually knew that there was a legitimate possibility that they could get hit with a one- or two-shot penalty, they're going to move along at a little better clip. And there may be some hardship in the beginning, but there always is when you implement a new policy. And then, you know, you kind of settle into it. I mean, look at the rules of golf. You know, the change in how we drop the ball. Ricky Fowler was mocking it earlier this year. Kind of adapted. And you know, gotten on board with it. And I think the same would be true with slow play.
Is there a rule in the game of golf that says slow play needs to be addressed, that there should be a penalty for playing too slow?
Well, there's not a rule that says there should be a penalty, but there is within the rules the ability to penalize for slow play. Sure.
That's what I meant to say. You're right. Thank you. Okay, so there is a rule. Okay. Well,
yeah, whether by rule or local rule, you can do it.
Well, I just wish they'd pick up the pace, because it's getting to the point where, you know, you want to just record it and fast forward to the action and not even bother with the rest of it. And that's not good for commercials. What, you know, you don't want me to just do that, because then I'm not going to watch their commercials either and I won't be supporting their sponsors. So there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you can. There's certain things, too, that I mean, I don't understand why they don't allow rangefinders on tour. You know, I think a lot of time is spent between the endless back and forth of caddy and player doing the math on the distance. You know, we're at 147 and the pin's 8 deep and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. And all you got to do is haul out a rangefinder and zap it, and you know the yardage.
There you go.
Okay?
Yes.
And figure out the wind and pull a club. Let's go.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Watching them discuss all this stuff, it's like, really? Especially on the putting green. The putting green, when they start discussing it forever, that's when I'm, all right, guys, you've gone way over the edge. There's a problem.
Yeah.
I found something online when I was looking, and I know this isn't brand new, but I found it fascinating. Titleist is our featured club, and it's irons. The Titleist T Series came out, I guess, was it in June or July?
Yep.
And it replied, interesting. I mean, it's got distance, dispersion, angle of descent, max impact. Would you help me? This is the T100s, the T200s, and the T300s. What do I do with all this?
Yeah, well, those are a lot of buzzwords. I'll try to help folks out a little bit with it. For starters, it's really cool. It's kind of the first complete overhaul of the Titleist iron family since the original APs were introduced 11 years ago. So, you know, Titleist aficionados should find that really interesting. To help people out who may be familiar with AP1, AP2, AP3, the T100 is the new AP2. The T300 is the new AP1, and the T200 is the new AP3. So, I mean...
That's what's so confusing. I look, why is the T100 the 2? Why can't it, you know, it's like, couldn't they have adjusted?
So again,
yes.
The T100 is the AP2, the T200 is the AP3, and the T300 is the AP1. So hopefully everyone's got that.
Got it.
but I do think, you know, you did mention the max impact area, which is, I think, one of the more interesting technological achievements they've done. And what it basically is, it's a spherical structure made of a lightweight polymer, similar to what you might find in a golf ball, that sits directly behind the face's impact area. So what that does is it allows Titleist to make a thinner face, but as most of us know, if you make a thin face, it's hard to support it and it's hard to make it feel good, but this gives them a support area that improves the way the face flexes across a broader area of the face. So we all like that. We all want more speed across a broader area of the face. And then it makes the club feel good. So, you know, that's a real key thing in those clubs.
And that's only for the T200s and the T300s, right?
Correct. And, you know, the other thing that is across all of them is the use of tungsten. Now, a lot of companies use tungsten, but, you know, Titleist does it pretty substantially. The T100 has a combined 66 grams of it co-forged into the heel and toe, you know, gives a little bit of more stability while still maintaining that player shape. The T200 has an average of 90 grams in the heel and toe through in the 4th-7 iron. That gives it a lot more forgiveness, you know, on an iron that's built for people who want forgiveness. It also helps lower the center of gravity, get that average of 52 grams of tungsten in the mid and long irons for similar things. So, you know, they really are being aggressive in their approach here. It's a significant redesign of their iron line. And anyone who's kind of looked at the AP line in the past might want to give these a pretty good look as well.
Yeah. I like what their whole idea of using this, what you were talking about, the polymer, extending maximum speed across the entire face while preserving superior sound and feel. And I just love the fact that in golf, I mean, when you hear something, when you just know it's right, and yet we hear later than actually when you hit it. So,
yeah.
It's so important, the feel of it. You know, I'm still not good enough to tell you that my hands are doing a lot except just holding it correctly and coming into contact. But the feel is so important. The sound is so important. I get into this distance, this dispersion, and this angle of descent, and I can't help wonder, why is this important? An iron shot that flies far but can't hold the green does little to improve scoring. True, but how does your T-Series iron help me get all this accomplished if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing? But the T300, the game improvement, would be the one for somebody like myself who really needs a little bit of help. I don't get out enough to really get good at this game.
No, and that's why Titleist and a number of other companies have a wide swath of irons instead of just one. And quite frankly, it's why the Golf Digest Hot List breaks it down into four categories of irons. You know, you got your players and players distance for people who kind of know what they're doing. And then you got your game improvement and super game improvement irons for people who need a little bit more help. And those irons are designed to get the ball up in the air easier for that type of player. You know, the better player is kind of looking for consistency and control. The less skilled player is really just looking for help advancing the ball down and getting it in the air.
And you do such a great job explaining everything, and that's why I love having Mike Johnson, Golf Digest Senior Equipment Editor, Hot List team member on the show and putting the Hot List together. We're going to have it in our hands or online on our devices soon. Well, in January, because you got a lot of work to do. And I will talk to you soon. Thank you, Mike Johnson.
Anytime, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to thank the people who make this show possible. Without them, we would not have the golf club. Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom, two locations, Honolulu and Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, you know that the mud that gets left behind when the water comes into your home can feel worse than the water was. And the cleanup is disastrous unless you have somebody like Oahu Extraction to rescue you. They'll be on site in 90 minutes. 808-330-6212. 330-6212. Put that on your refrigerator. That's OahuExtraction.com. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. That's right. If they trust these doors, then so can you for your home, for your business. Rainer Doors, a major return on your investment, by the way. The number is 676-3667. And Bougainville Flooring Superstore, Hawaii's largest stock in inventory, and they are having a super sale today and tomorrow. And they've got installation supplies, they've got the tools, the adhesives, the floor prep, the grout, the cleaners, they've got the tiles, they've got the flooring, they've got the carpet. Now go, Bougainville Flooring. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide.
Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2019.